I hear the chains falling. I hear them snapping. And Paul and Silas, just about midnight. Come on. We're singing praises and hymns unto God. And the word of God says, suddenly. Oh, don't you love the suddenlies of God? Suddenly I was hurting, but the sun started to come out. There were ashes, but he gave me beauty. There were tears, but he dried my tears. Oh, I hear it. Today, Jesus. You know, I told Pastor Tony he had come over on last Sunday night. We had a guest speaker at our church. A guy's got a small church in Texas named Pastor Joel Osteen. And he was speaking at our church last Sunday night. So I said, Pastor Tony, Jackie, I got a couple seats for you right up front. So they came over, and afterward I said, you know, something special is going to happen today. I'm not the type of guy that normally flows in a very prophetic flow, but this is a very prophetic message. Something that God wants specifically for this house, for you. And it's one of those, whosoever will. So the only choice here is, will you be a whosoever? I will. I will. Father, as we go from this takeoff point to the place where you want us to end up, where you want us to land, that your Holy Spirit would be in this place in even greater measure, but speak to the individual hearts, to the lives of every believer and unbeliever alike. Nudge those who still live in that place of darkness and nudge them into the kingdom of light, the Son whom you dearly love. And let there be an awakening today, an awakening in this house. We bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen, amen. Give somebody a love and then find a seat. Man, that worship was wonderful. Come on, somebody say amen. I just sense that it's happening here. We know that it's happening at Hope. Hope Unlimited, the church that, wow.
You know, in this place, I just need to use my preaching voice.
Oh, come on, man. I've been here way too many times for you not just to love me.
Come on. Amen.
Supernatural things are happening at Hope Unlimited, the church that I reside over as the founding pastor. But watching my two sons run with the church and see what God is doing there brings me to this place this morning. And you know the transitions that I've been in the last 3 years, just traveling, writing books, going all over the world, ministering, and seeing what God is doing among the nations, not just here in America. We get so self-centered. Uh-oh. We get so selfish in our thinking that we think it's all about us, but there is a big body of Christ that surrounds this globe, this terra firma, this earth. And neat things are happening. I think last month at Hope Unlimited, we had 80 first-time salvations. When we did our baptismal service last Sunday, people spontaneously in their street clothes got up, went to the baptismal, and got baptized, even though they had no plan at first, but they got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized. Yeah. You can plan it or you can just let the Holy Spirit do it. But listen, they've only given me 12 minutes to preach. And so, oh, wait. Pastor Tony and Jackie are in the Philippines. Let's receive offering number one for me. Oh, you know I'm kidding. And if you don't, take a chill pill and relax. We're good. All right, today a word for this house. Amen. Meaning for you. Amen. This isn't the church, right? We're the church. Yes. Wherever we go, God goes. His Spirit. Know ye not, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which dwelleth in you. Yes. He tabernacles. Yes. He lives. He abides. Yes. And so something from my spirit to your spirit this morning. There is a title to this message. And unlike other messages, the title has great significance. This message is called The Ripple Effect. So I want to talk about the ripple effect of this house, of this church, of its pastors, of its calling, of its anointing, and you specifically, privately. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1, the king of Aram had great admiration for Naaman. You're going to remember that name, Naaman. He was the commander of his army because through him, through Naaman, the Lord, say the Lord, had given Aram great victories. Father, that today in the name of Jesus, great victories would be wrought through your spirit. Not through Rob, not through us, through your spirit, great victories. And that all praise, all honor, all glory, all esteem, all majesty, all might would be declared to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. He had given him great victories, but though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he was what? He was what? No, that's right. Come on now, girl. He was a mighty warrior. Isn't that what the word says? But though he was a mighty warrior, he had what? Oh, he had a problem with his flesh. I wonder if there's some of us like that in that room, in this room today. Some of us who have wrought great things for God. We've won great victories. We've come out of the kingdom of darkness. God is doing great things with us, and yet we still have a problem in our flesh. Leprosy, it's debilitating. Eventually, it's life-ending if there's no intervention. I think in this house, son, pull this that way for me. I think in this house, I see tons of champions. Come on. I see warriors. But see, I also know when you come in on Sunday morning, you put your game face on. You got the warrior paintings. You got the hallelujah. God. But somehow we lose the painting, we lose the markings, we lose a lot of that when we walk out those doors. God was giving him great victories, but on the other side of those great victories was a struggle in his flesh that never went away. I'm not going to ask. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. But how many of you in this room have ever left church? You're feeling empowered. You feel like you just had a great victory. You feel like you're a warrior for Christ, but then there's a struggle in your flesh. Well, that's what God is doing with Naaman. God didn't give Naaman the struggle in the flesh, but there was something in his flesh he couldn't overcome. For some of us, it's fear. We want to walk out of here faithful, but we walk out of here fearful. And we all know that faith brings us what we do want, but fear brings us what we don't want. Somebody. Sometimes the offering basket goes by, and whoever's receiving the offering this morning, man, we want to be liberal in our giving, but we still see that same $3 going to the basket. We have a struggle with our flesh because We want to be liberated, but we're still stingy. We want healing, but sickness still lingers. And all of these issues, whatever the issue is, eats away at our flesh.
Yeah.
It's not that you're not born again. It's not that you're not recreated in His Spirit. It's not that you're not a child of God. It's just there's a problem in your flesh. Is there anybody in this house that ever has a problem with their flesh? Oh, look at all the hands. Hallelujah. Well, maybe it was God's will for him to have leprosy. Nah, Jesus went about doing good and healing all those that were sick and oppressed of the devil. If that was God's will, then Jesus would have given somebody sickness. Because Jesus said, I only do those things which I see my Father in heaven do. Amen. Principle number one, the ripple effect of a no name. So here's Naaman, and at this time, Aramean raiders, he was one of the commanders of that army, had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives, those they took captive, was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. She is a no name. She has no name, but she's going to play a very powerful part in this story. Have you ever had a no name in your life play a powerful part in your life? I'd like to talk about the ripple effect of a no name. In my last book, number 8, Identity Theft, I want you to know, you know what's so cool about this? My 8th book, I think the only ones that read my first 6 were my family. My church bought it, and those were a lot of books because the church bought it, but I don't think they read it. But this book people are reading. This book people are sending from all, asking for all over the world, because we have such a struggle with our identity, our flesh. And in this book, you read the story, my testimony of being an abused child and the severity of that abuse. But I often am asked at the book table afterwards, Pastor Rob, how did the abuse stop? And I tell the story of, you know, being in the book of being abused from the time I was 5 till the time I was 12, being beat with a spatula that's used for barbecues. I remember those things vividly, and yet people want to know, when did it stop? How did it stop? Well, this lady came to my mom and said, I'd like you to take you to a Bible study. The lady, I have no clue what her name was. She took my mom to a Bible study, and at 12 years old, my mom got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and the beatings immediately stopped. I was never beat again. Hold on. That same lady started to have a prayer meeting with my mom in our kitchen at 14 years old. I walked into our kitchen. That same no-name lady grabbed me and said, you're going to be in the ministry. Oh, I'm just trying to get to the refrigerator, lady. At that very same time, a football player, I have no idea what his name was, from the Los Angeles Rams, the good Los Angeles Rams. Woo! Came to my high school, I was playing football, and he said, ask some of the football players, cheerleaders, and other students, would you like to come to a fun thing I'm doing at Citrus College tonight? And I said, heck yeah, you're a football player. Dude, man, you're like 6'50". I don't know, you know. He was huge. I don't remember his name. I don't know if I ever knew his name. I went that night. How did I know that he was an ambassador for Campus Crusade for Christ? That night, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Oh, you see, I've told my church many times that if I've ever had an impact on your life, if my 2 sons that are in full-time ministry have ever had an impact on your life, then you can thank the no-names in our life that had a ripple effect in our life that are now having a ripple effect in your life. Before we get, thanks for that, like, weak clap, whatever. Here's what I've discovered. You don't need a big name to be a no name.
Amen.
Yeah, we had Darlene Check 2 weeks ago. How many of you know who Darlene Check is? Hillsong worship leader, you know, for 20 years, wrote all the music, made Hillsong famous. She was with us doing a service. Then Joel Osteen. I don't know who's next. Maybe somebody even more amazing, Pastor Tony Dunn. I don't know. Don't you dare laugh. Because he's going to have a ripple effect. Oh, never mind. When he gets... One day the girl, let's keep going, because would you keep me on point? It's your job. And you get paid well for it. You may be paid in donuts, but you get paid well. One day the girl, the no-name, the slave, right? She's a what? She's their slave. She's been captured from her home, dragged out of her country, and taken to his house to be a maid to his wife. Let's understand the context. Their slave said to her mistress, I wish my master would go see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him. Notice he didn't say might heal him. He would heal him. See, I don't know if there's a prophet left in Samaria, but I know there's a church in Corona called New Day. And there's some pastors in Corona at New Day, and there are some people in Corona at New Day. I don't know if there's a prophet in Samaria that brings healing, but I know that there's a church in Corona called New Day that's a minister of hope and grace and healing and forgiveness and reconciliation and a message of grace and new beginnings. How many of you needed a new beginning like I did? You precious people are having a ripple effect. And I know in my own life there's times I thank God for the no-names in my life. And there are times we need a no-name. But there's times we need to be a no-name. See, when you need a no-name in your life, it means you need to listen to what somebody's telling you. Remember Balaam, the prophet Balaam? Well, God spoke to him through his donkey. I'm sure there's a few people in this house. Can't believe that guy just said that. Whatever. I'm sure that if God can speak through a donkey, he can speak through you and I, can't he? Yes. To cause a ripple effect in somebody's life that brings some permanent change, that brings a course direction in their life, that brings an uplifting. A righteous man falls how many times? Oh, he falls 7 times, but he gets up once again. It doesn't matter how many times you fall. Will you get up one more time than you've fallen? Oh, Jesus, a message of hope and a message of grace. Principle number 2. There's no ripple effect by just showing up. Let's go to verse 9. There's no ripple effect by just showing up. So Naaman went with his horses. Okay, got on his horse, but wait. Oh, he brought chariots and waited at the door of Elisha's house. See, you can show up at New Day. Uh-oh. It's going to get personal now. You can wait at New Day, just like Naaman. But the real question is, will you receive at New Day? See, Naaman showed up. Naaman waited, but look what he's doing. He's not going to the front door. He's outside waiting. See, the ripple effect that I'd like to have on your life today is stop just showing up, stop waiting, and start receiving. Okay, hold on. And thereby, some of you here at New Day never receive because all you do is show up. All you do is wait, like God is just going to pick you up and propel you out of your seat and that you don't have anything to do with it. There is power in a choice. There is power in a decision. So make the choice to stop showing up, stop waiting, and start doing. Start receiving. There's no ripple effect by just showing up. Directions for you and for your life and for your ministry and for your wife and for your husband and for your children and for your health and for your finances mean nothing if they're not followed. When I was a teenager, we thought it absolutely funny because I didn't live too far out of Los Angeles. We'd be on the street playing ball, whatever. Remember, I'm going to be 61 years old. We'd be playing ball. I know, I don't look anywhere near 61. 59 max. And inevitably, somebody, because we lived right by the freeway, the Pomona Freeway, people would get off and they'd be driving around our streets and they'd say, excuse me, do you know how to get to fill in the blank? And I just look at him and say, oh, I'm so sorry. And they said, what? I said, you can't get there from here. Wait a second. That kind of just went, whew, didn't it, huh, brother? Did you get it? See, he's smiling. See, I know he got, you can't get there from here. You can get anywhere from here. Right. Never mind. Jeez. I think Hope did the same thing. Like, do you finally get it? I know you've heard this message before. You sure? You'll ask me later, won't you? See, let me just be really clear here. The problems that you're having with your flesh are never dealt with by just showing up. They're never dealt with by showing up and waiting. They're only dealt with when you receive where you've shown up at and you're waiting. It puts the responsibility back on us. It puts the onus back on us. Principle number three. There's a reward in the ripple effect. I'm trying to hurry along here. But Elisha sent a messenger out to him with this message. Elisha, the prophet who would heal him, sent a message out to Naaman. Go and wash yourself seven times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored and you will be healed of your leprosy. He was at Elisha's house, waiting at Elisha's house, showed up at Elisha's house, and a message comes. What does the message say? Go and dip in the Jordan seven times, and you will be healed. He was at the house. He was waiting at the house. But will he receive at the house? Ah. See, that's what's happening. A message of restoration right now is being given to all of you here at New Day this morning. A message of reconciliation, a message of don't just wait, don't just show up, but a message of receiving. Amen. Here at New Day this morning. So this is what's happening to Naaman. He shows up and Elisha just sends a message out. He doesn't even come out of the house. Oh, just go do this and you'll be fine. So simple, it seems like. See, it's the message God gave me for you today. Restoration, reconciliation, forging forward, not only allowing this message to have a ripple effect in your life, but hoping, wanting, praying, believing God for it to cause you to be a ripple effect in somebody else's life. You see, Naaman had leprosy. Mycobacterium leprae, the Latin. Mycobacterium leprae. You know what it means? It means that an infection gets in your blood and it destroys the nerve endings in your skin so that you no longer feel pain, especially at the furthest extremities of your body. It starts at the toes, the end, fingertips, the nose tips, the ears tips. And it destroys feeling in the body. Then when the feeling is destroyed, you don't notice cuts or pain, and it becomes infected and eats away at the body. I wonder sometimes, precious, if the body of Christ has been infected somehow with Mycobacterium leprae. And we've begun to lose the sensation of sin. We've lost the sensation of what we do wrong, and all we concentrate on is showing up and waiting. But I'll tell you right now, the Holy Spirit is wanting to heal us of our leprosy. And it has affected the body of Christ. Because Christ is seeing his body deteriorate, even to the point of parts falling off the body that shouldn't fall off. Let's keep going. Got to finish. I guess if there's a medical lesson in this, it's all just so to tell you that let's not only be sensitive to the pains in our own body, but sensitive to the pains in other people's bodies. Verse 11, so Elisha says, just go dip. Here, look at verse 11, I love this. But Naaman became angry and stalked away. Oh, I've seen that as a pastor for 40 years. I've seen that. I thought he would certainly come out to meet me, he said. I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and heal me. I thought he'd come to me. I thought he'd wave his hand over me. See, that's what you all want, the magic wand. Woo! Heal. Woo! Heal him, Lord. Heal him, Lord. Heal him. See, it's your way or the highway. But didn't God, through Elisha, send him a simple message for healing? Go wash. Go dip. Simple, and you'll be healed. Let me be Naaman for a minute. He's the great commander. He's the one winning all these wars. And Elisha doesn't even come out of the house and greet him. Here's Naaman. Oh, hell no. Hell no. He don't come out here and wave his hand. Say, God, help me. Right? Right? Because he wants it his way. Do you know there's so many in the church that want it their way? This isn't Burger King. You don't get it your own way. Good thing I didn't say in and out, because that would start a physiological response and you'd all start drooling and you'd start leaving early before. Hallelujah. See, what he expected didn't happen. Maybe what you expected when you came in here this morning didn't happen. You thought it was going to be Pastor Tony, then it was this Italiano. Maybe you don't like the message. Maybe you don't like the messenger. Oh, it didn't happen your way. And even if you don't like the message, and even if you don't like the messenger, all you got to do is listen to the message and go get healed. Oh. You know what I love, son, though? I love, because usually when I do this message, I say something. I wasn't going to say it here, but I'll tell you. That there's a lot of people that come into the church and say, well, they don't do it here like they did at my old church. And then I just look them in the face and say, this isn't your old church! Because if your old church worked so well, you'd still be there. Oh, yeah, that's right. Come on. That's right. Verse 12. Here's what Naaman says. How am I doing? I get 55 minutes? Oh, 5 minutes. Aren't the rivers of Damascus? There's no way. I look at all the leaders. You know what they just did? I looked at the two leaders in the house, and they went, aren't the rivers of Damascus, the Abana, and the Pharpar better than any of the rivers of Israel? Why shouldn't I wash in them and be healed? So Naaman turned and went away in a rage. He did what? He turned away and he what? It didn't happen his way, so he's throwing a pity party? Yeah. Oh, the rivers where I'm from are much better than the rivers where you... Oh, you live on that side of the tracks. Really? So look what happens. I don't have time for all this. I got to finish. What I would tell you is I'll teach the second half of this message next service. Verse 13. But his officers, normally when I'm teaching in the Bible colleges that I teach in, I'm always teaching my students, those working on their master's, their doctorate. I'm always telling them, you read too fast. See, even you read it too fast. You were just ready for me to go on, but as officers. But I want you to notice something about those three words. They're more no names in his life. We don't know their names. We don't know what they did, whether they had families or not. But his officers tried to reason with him and said, sir, if the prophet had told you to do something very difficult, wouldn't you have done it? So you should certainly obey him when he says simply, go and wash and be healed. But the church has done the same thing, causing them to believe that they must do something really difficult to receive their healing, their regeneration, their new... You just got to go dip in the water of God's word and be clean. right? I gotta go. How many minutes do I have left? Four now? So Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself seven times. How do I do this? As the man of God had instructed him, and his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child, and he was healed. Listen, have you ever tried something the first time and it didn't work? See, some of you came into the church, you got a great decision. I heard Pastor Tony talking about tithing. So you tithed once and you went, it didn't work. Come on. You tried serving in the children's ministry, but then you walked away and said, they're a bunch of brats. Yeah, that's why you're all in here right now, because with all them over there, listen, so here's my point. He went in the first time, nothing happened. The second time, nothing. Third, nothing. Fourth, nothing. Fifth, nothing. Sixth, nothing. But on the seventh time, see, he didn't give up on the message of the messenger. He just kept going until he reached the point of the destiny appointed by the prophet that was appointed by God for him to get to. See, God has called you to do something, church, called New Day, that's called to have a tsunami-sized ripple effect in this area and in this church and in this house. You just keep dipping, come up, dip, come up, dip. Come up and watch the Spirit of God move like you've never seen him move. And wait, now wait, now wait. The Bible says, and the seventh time he came up, his skin was like that of a young child's. Not like a 30-year-old man. See, you think it looked like what he looked like before he got leprosy. No, it looked better than before he had leprosy. But hold it, I haven't gotten to the preaching part yet. It says, and, did you notice the conjunction and, all you English majors? It says his skin was as healthy as a young child's, and, meaning a different point of the preposition, and he was healed. Oh, hold on. See, I got to tell you something. It means nothing if he comes out of that water and he's got the skin of a brand new baby, but he's not healed because the leprosy will come right back and eat that skin as well. See, it isn't just what happens on the outside, my friends. It's what's happening on the inside. Having a ripple effect happens on the inside and then it happens on the outside. Something's happening on the inside of New Day today. Stand to your feet. Something good is happening on the inside. Stand to your feet. There's a ripple effect going on in this house right now. So listen very carefully to this story as I challenge you to have a ripple effect. It's a true story. A high school teacher was saying goodbye to her senior class. They were all graduating. It was their last day of school. She called each child up and began to talk about a positive quality that she had seen in their life over the year. Nothing negative. They were all blessed, touched. And as they left that day through the door, she stood at the door and she had three blue ribbons in her hand for every student. And she said, if I, during this year, have had any impact on your life, I want you to take these three blue ribbons, and when you feel it's an appropriate time, give them to somebody in your life. Give one to one person, one to another, and one to another. So one of those young men left that day, and he went to work. He had just started a new job. And he was thinking in his car as he was driving to work. He had just finished high school. That the man he worked with was kind of grumpy, he was kind of focused, but he was teaching him a whole lot of valuable lessons about business. So sometime during his shift, he got the courage and he called his boss over and he said, could I talk to you? I just need 2 minutes. They went into the office, he took a blue ribbon out of his pocket and he says, listen, and he told his boss, you have had a tremendous ripple effect on my life. You've taught me so many things about business, things that I know will help me in the future. And it touched the business owner. As the business owner was driving home, he looked at the blue ribbon that was sitting on the seat next to him. And he said, I have a 17-year-old son at home. True story. I have a 17-year-old son at home. I don't think I've ever told him how much I appreciate the fact that he gets straight A's, that he honors his mother, that he honors me. He said, I'm going to go home and I'm going to thank him and I'm going to give him my blue ribbon. So he did. He got home, and as he walked in through the door, he called his son from upstairs, and the son came running down and he said, son, I got to tell you what happened. He told him what happened. Then he looked at his son and he said, listen, son, I am so very proud of you. Your mother and I love you. I don't think I've ever told you that. But you are the best thing that ever happened to us. At that moment, the son exploded in tears and jetted out of the room and ran back to his room. He called his wife into the thing, told her what happened. And at that very moment, the son came walking downstairs with a 8.5 by 11 piece of paper in his hand. He said, Mom and Dad, I wrote this for the two of you. I expected you to find it in the morning. Dear Mom and Dad, I've taken my life because I felt like there's been no value or honor. I felt like I was worthless, meant nothing to you. And then he fell apart sobbing again, and they embraced, and the family was healed. Hold on. The power of a ripple effect. I don't know if you caught it, but in the middle of this message, I said that New Day is going to have a tsunami-sized ripple effect. See, a tsunami can travel not only tens of miles. Not only hundreds of miles, it can actually travel thousands of miles, because the ripple effect of a tsunami doesn't end till it hits the shore. I think today in the Philippines, you're having a ripple effect. Your giving, your love, your serving has sent your pastors to the Philippines and to other places around the world that I've traveled with them to have a ripple effect.
Amen.
Oh, thank God. Thank God for the no-names in our life. But I want to thank God right now for every one of you that are going to walk out of this house today and choose to be a no-name in someone's life. There's a son, there's a daughter, there's a mother, there's a father, there's an aunt, there's an uncle, there's a teacher, there's a brother, there's a sister. Maybe you offended them, maybe they offended you. And I understand the power of a negative ripple effect. But I also understand that it can be easily undone with the ripple effect of unconditional love and forgiveness. Bow your heads. I would be remiss if I came into this house today and not talk to you about the Jesus